In the Gospels, we understand that Jesus is the central figure. But other than Jesus, there is a character that stands out. In fact, the best supporting actor in a drama series would go to Simon Peter. Now, Peter is mentioned 200 times in the Gospels. All of the disciples and the apostles all put together combined only account for 50 mentions. And then on top of that, the beloved disciple, John, is actually only mentioned 18 times. Peter is my favorite disciple. Now, it's not because of his popularity, but it's actually because of his honesty. When we read the book of Mark, we're actually reading the words of Peter because Peter was the source for Mark's gospel. And one of the interesting things about Mark's gospel is that it's a very non-flattering look at Peter's life. And I think that Peter knew that the truth of who he was and the struggles that he experienced would help us when we learned and what it meant to be a disciple. He knew that even being a disciple of Jesus, we would still make mistakes. And there were times that we'll just simply blow it, because that's what happened to Peter. There were times that he just simply blew it. Peter was gritty. He was real. He was honest. And he was a failure. He was flawed. And he was certainly the unlikely disciple. During this period of time, rabbis would be choosing the Harvard and the Yales of the students that were going to Talmud. And Jesus, on the other hand, was actually selecting the high school dropouts. Now, Peter didn't advance further in his education. For all pretense and purposes, he was just a fisherman, a common guy. Well, this summer, we are going to take a deeper dive into the life and the ministry of Simon Peter, warts and all. In fact, we're going to see that there are times of great confusion in his life. There are times when he was angry, when he debated Jesus and actually scolded Jesus at one point. We're also going to see the times that he had extreme faith, and he also even failed. And ultimately, even on the night before Jesus would die, Peter would deny that he even knew him. So the message today actually has two parts. It's going to be one part study as we kind of are introduced to the person, Simon Peter. And then the other part will be the sermon portion of it. So we're going to talk about Simon Peter, or as he was born, Simon Bar-Jonah. The word bar actually simply means son. So we understand that Peter had a father. His name was Jonah. Now, not that Jonah, but his name was Jonah after Jonah from the Old Testament. We also know that he has a brother named Andrew. And truthfully, that's all that we know of Peter's family. We also know that he grew up in the town of Bethsaida, which is on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida literally translates into house of fishermen, or actually it's house of hunters, but they were hunters of fish. So it can be translated into house of fishermen. We know that Peter gets married and he moves to Capernaum, which is very different than what is standard during this time. Typically, when a wife and a husband marry, the wife goes to live with the husband's family. But in this case, Peter moves, and actually his brother Andrew comes along, and they move to Capernaum where his wife lived. One of the reasons that occurred was because the taxes were much cheaper on the west side of the Jordan River. Now, Simon loved the water. He grew up around water. He would have loved to have gone to the lake or to the river. He had a boat. I mean, these were all the things that were important to him. He was a captain of his fishing vessel, and he was a fisherman, and he had his own business that was passed down from his father. And the standard food during this time in the Roman Empire was fish. Now, if you were wealthy, your fish would be fresh. But many times it was either salted or pickled, which absolutely sounds horrible to me. But have you ever thought about who Peter was? Think about before we learn about Peter in the Gospels, who he was before he met Jesus. I want you to picture his hands. Are they smooth and manicured? Or are they rough? Are they calloused? Are they fishermen's hands? used to tying knots and pulling in line and fishing for a living. What about his language? He was a fisherman. We've heard rumors that, you know, people would cuss like a sailor. Well, he was a fisherman who was also a sailor. When he told jokes, were they nice jokes? Or were they maybe jokes that you heard in a bar? Simon was a real person. When he gets off of work with his buddies, he wants to go to the bar and throw a few back with his friends. This would have been normal everyday life. When he drank, did he drink iced tea, lemonade? Maybe it was Diet Coke. But all of it would be the reality that Simon is Simon. He's a hard worker. He's nominally religious. And he's just trying to make a living. So Jesus gives a nickname to this fisherman. And when he meets him on the first interaction that they have together, Jesus gives him a nickname. Now, nicknames are typically playful, but they also indicate a person's personality. So we know that Jesus gave a nickname to James and John, who were actually fishing partners with Simon and Andrew, and he calls them the Sons of Thunder, right? Don't you love that? I mean, it's like, you know, the Sons of Thunder. It sounds like Thor. And then Simon, in this case, Jesus looks at him and he says, I will call you Cephas, which is actually the Hebrew form of Petros, which is the Greek form of Peter, which all mean rock. So before Dwayne the Rock Johnson, Simon Peter was known as the Rock. And Jesus gave him this nickname, and it was important. And Jesus knew that Peter was going to be immovable, that he was going to be powerful, foundational, steady, and strong. Jesus knew that this was going to describe Peter, but this was before Peter was any of those things. In fact, the nickname stuck. Simon, which is mentioned 54 times in the Gospels, is actually pales in comparison to Peter or Petros or rock 115 times. So I love what Pastor Adam Hamilton says. He says, for Simon, Jesus didn't give him the name of a person he wanted him to emulate. Instead, Jesus gave him a vision of what he might be, that one day he'd be the rock for others. What if Jesus gave you a nickname? What would your nickname be? Would it be Beautiful Spirit? Selfless, courageous, bold, a servant? Would your nickname be something around the word or title of loving? These are some of the things I think we need to think about, because who we are now and who we are becoming in Christ, for many of us, are two different people. Well, this is a good place for us to stop, and we're going to move to the started out section of our talk sheet. If you haven't already, head over to our website, trinitynazarene.org. You'll see a tab at the top that says Trinity Anywhere. Click on that tab, and right at the very beginning, you'll see today's message, and underneath that, a link for today's talk sheet. Grab the talk sheet, download it. We hope that you're watching this with a group of people. Pause here, discuss the started out section, and then when you're ready, come back and press play, and it'll automatically move to the next section of our message. Well, I encourage you and invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And let me give you a little setup to the scene that we're going to read about. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were all fishing, and they fished all night long. And they experienced what we in the fishing world called skunked, right? Have you ever fished and not caught anything? It's called getting skunked. And it stinks, because you can be out there for hours and not even get a nibble. So it's really difficult night for them. Night fishing is going to be important to the story. In fact, net fishing was better at night for one primary reason. The fish can't see the net. At nighttime, the net is a whole lot harder to see, but in daytime, fish, they're actually pretty smart. They actually can see the net and they will turn and divert away. So what fishermen would do in this time period, in fact, even still today, if you were to go to the Sea of Galilee to watch the fishermen fish, they would go out at night and they would light a lantern or a flare, or in this case with Peter, James, Andrew, and John, they would light a torch and put it out in the water, which would actually attract a lot of the bugs that would come over to the surface. And then the fish would be attracted to the bugs and the light. And then that is exactly where the fishermen would fish. So the light was important to the process of catching the fish. So they fished all night long, they didn't catch a thing, and they're back, they're frustrated, they're cleaning their nets. And this was important because if they didn't clean their nets, they were going to dry rot, and they literally are just exhausted. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. Well, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 tells us that one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Now, how do you think Peter felt about this? There's a couple of possible reasons why Jesus did what he did and really kind of inserted himself into Peter's story right there. Well, one of the reasons I think is actually the way that we interact with our own neighbors. Have you ever noticed that your neighbors don't need help? You might ask them, hey, can I help you with that? No, I got it. Oh no, please let me help you. No, it's okay. I've got it. No big deal. Our neighbors seem to be pretty, you know, self-sustaining. But have you also noticed the relationship that's built when you go over and knock on the door and say, hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Or do you have any flour? Maybe you go over and you ask for a couple of eggs. Well, it's obvious by now you're baking a cake, but you go to your neighbor and you ask them for something, and your neighbor is always quick to oblige, because ultimately we want to be wanted and we want to be needed. And in this case, relationships are built in those moments of actually asking someone else for help. Now, Jesus says to Peter, hey, I need your help. I need your boat. And Peter wants to go home and he wants to sleep, but because Jesus needs help, Peter says, sure, I'll give you a hand. Has anyone ever asked you for help when you were tired and it was a really inconvenient time? Here's what Peter would learn from following Jesus during his ministry. Jesus routinely inconveniences his followers. It's just true. Jesus routinely inconveniences his followers. He asks us to give our efforts, to borrow our stuff, and to utilize our time all for the sake of accomplishing his work. He does it all the time. And often it's not the most convenient time, and we give to a certain point, but when it becomes more than we can bear, we start to make excuses like Peter. In fact, look at verse 4 and 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now, it's one thing to sit in the boat, and Jesus gets in and says, hey, can I borrow your boat? I'll just sit here and I'm going to preach to the people. Which, by the way, that was really ingenious on Jesus' part, because if you're ever out on the water, the water acts as like a sounding board. And so people out on the shore could hear Jesus' words very clearly, and he wouldn't have had to have raised his voice to be able to preach. But it's completely different when now all of a sudden Jesus is asking Peter and his brother Andrew to go out into a place where, number one, the fishing isn't good. Number two, it's during the day, so the fish are going to see the nets. And number three, the nets were all dried now, and they just wanted to go home and sleep. Master, Simon replied in verse 5, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. Again, the excuse. How often has Jesus asked you to do something, or you know that it was somebody asking you to do something and it was an opportunity that Jesus was using for you to love and to care for somebody, but it was completely the most inappropriate time and you were tired and you were exhausted and you simply didn't have the energy, you, just like Peter, would make an excuse and say, do we really right now? Well, what Peter says next sums up Peter's personality as a reluctantly obedient disciple. Verse 5 tells us, but if you say so, but if you say so, that really kind of sums up Peter's personality. He was a reluctant, reluctantly obedient. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Have you had those but if you say so moments as well? If we're being honest, but if you say so moments are the moments when we're busy, we're tired, we're scared, we don't feel necessarily equipped for the task at hand, but because you said so, Jesus, right? Typically, those are the deep water moments in our lives, the places that Jesus calls us to go when we would rather simply stay at home. I'm amazed, but I'm not surprised that some of my most reluctant times have become the most rewarding and profitable in my life. The times when Jesus called me to go deeper out into the water, and it was an inconvenient time. I was tired. I was maybe even scared. But in those moments, it was my because you said so moment that they become the most rewarding. John Lennon famously sang, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. How true is that? And because of Peter's obedience, we see the results in verse 6 through 8. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man. Peter's response reminds me of the same response that we read in the book of Isaiah. When Isaiah comes into and interacts with a holy God, it's when our very humanness comes into God's, in contact with God's holiness. Isaiah 6:5 says, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Both Peter and Isaiah had a similar experience when they came in contact with a holy God. I am sinful. I am not worthy of your presence, Lord. And yet, they both recognize, I have seen the Lord. Well, this is where we're going to stop for just a few moments, and we're going to move to the Talk It Out section of our talk sheet. Again, download that talk sheet at trinitynazarene.org, and you'll have an opportunity to dialogue and discuss the scripture. Maybe you're enjoying this content by yourself. I want to encourage you to maybe journal or just have a quiet time with Jesus as you read through these questions and ponder and think about how you would answer those. Or maybe you want to reach out to somebody and say, you know, hey, here's some questions that I've been kind of thinking about. What do you think about this? Either way, when you're ready, come back, press play, and it will automatically go to the next section. If you're watching this and you just want to go on to the next section, just wait 5 seconds and it'll automatically begin to play on its own. It's amazing to see that Jesus gives Peter a mission for his life. In fact, look at verses 10 and 11. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, I want you to notice the first directive that Jesus gives to Peter. It wasn't go fish for people. The first directive was do not be afraid. That was the first thing. He understood that Peter felt intimidated, that he was scared, that he didn't know that he could be equipped enough. He wasn't the Harvard and the Yale. He was the high school dropout. His hands were rough. He was the guy that told jokes, bar jokes and course jokes, and you know, he didn't feel that he was perfect for the job. And yet the first thing that Jesus says is, don't be afraid. And then the thing that we see is that even in my own call, I can tell you that I still need Jesus to speak those words into me. And it was the same with Peter. And the metaphor that Jesus gives to Peter is perfect, because the metaphor says, fish for people. That's the metaphor. Fish for people. You know how to fish. It's no different when you fish for people. It's like fishing on the Sea of Galilee. You're going to place a torch, which is Jesus, in the water of your life, and the people are going to be attracted to the light. And when they get close enough to me, you will scoop them up. And you'll share with them the love that I have for the people. It's a similar and same experience. The metaphor is so simple, and it works. Fish for people. And the mission is simple. Follow and fish. That's it. Follow and fish. You see, to be a part of this movement that Jesus is creating, that it means that you're not stagnant. You don't sit still. You don't just stay. You need to go and you need to follow. And while you're following, you fish while you go. It's keep reaching, keep loving, keep serving, keep sharing, keep being on mission with Jesus in the world. I want you to learn one more thing from the story of Peter's call. And this is really important. The most important thing is not that Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. The most important thing is that they followed. That's the most important thing that we can learn today. They followed. Peter might have been reluctant, but he still took his boat. He gave it to Jesus, allowed Jesus to use it. They went out into the water. He sat and he listened to Jesus preach. And then when Jesus says, go out further and put your nets into the water, even though it didn't make sense to Peter at all, he did it because you say so, Lord. And in that moment, the blessing was overwhelming. See, that's the point that I want you to hear today as we start to understand Peter. He was real. He was honest. He was gritty. And he might have been reluctant, but he was reluctantly obedient. What does that look like for you today? It's not a matter of just the fact that Jesus calls you, because he does. It's a matter of, are you going to follow? Because the mission is simple. Follow and fish. Well, let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beginning of this series as we go through the summer. And as we look deeper at the story and at the history of Peter, Simon Peter, and Jesus, we are so thankful for his realness, his honesty, or his grittiness, the fact that he didn't get it right all the time. He wasn't perfect. He was flawed. And ultimately, he was even a failure. But Lord, you used him in mighty ways. And in each step along that process, you gave Peter a choice, just like you give us a choice. I pray that even if sometimes we are reluctant, we would be reluctantly obedient to the call that you place on us. Lord, our call is into different areas. It's to love our neighbors well. It's to serve. It's to do the things that we can do to be your hands and feet and to follow you and to fish for people. So Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks for this today in your name. Amen. Well, each time we're together, we pronounce a benediction. And I encourage you as you learn this and know this to say it with me. And this is maybe your first time. We typically just ask that you hold your hands out to receive this blessing over your week. And as you know it, or I encourage you as you read it to say it with me together. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen, the three most important words we say each week, you are sent.